The Dalen Kuntz Show, presented by Top Shelf Printers and Renaissance Insurance Group. Now, with Dalen Kuntz, here's Brady Hall.
Just 5 minutes after 11 o'clock. I love this show. Dalen Kuntz, it's the Dalen Kuntz Show, presented by our great friends at Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printers. Great businesses that just get it in the area, man. They love supporting local and staying local, too. Dalen, before we get into basketball stuff, speaking of staying local, the UNC volleyball coach, Lindsay Oates, what I had heard is that she was offered a job at CSU and chose to stay at UNC. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Just her deciding to stay and, you know, stay in Greenland, kind of keep that thing going with the girls volleyball team.
Do you know her at all? I mean, again, it's always a lot of people just assume that hey, all the athletes know each other, all the coaches know each other. But did you have any run-ins with Coach Oates?
No, I don't know her too well, but I mean, of course, I just see her.
Just know what she's doing all the time. And you know, you look at that, and that's good for the school overall. Every team that can roll and keep great coaches and get good players, that's good for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. That's good for everybody. It's good for the school. It's a good look for the school and the program, just being able to show that, like, you know, she wants to stay here and just continue keeping that winning tradition going.
It's been a good couple of weeks when you're looking at the UNC-CSU rivalry. I mean, the basketball teams both took care of Colorado State. The volleyball coach is sticking around here. So that's how you start growing this thing throughout the entire area of Greeley and Northern Colorado.
Yeah, definitely. Just step by step, just taking that progress as a, you know, as a school, as programs, and everything else.
All right, Dalen, you guys get another dub on the road. You go up against the Cal State Northridge Matadors. And a new coach, kind of a new philosophy there. The record I looked at, it's like it was 2-6 before you played them. But everything I'd read about this team is that they're certainly on the improve. They're getting better. And they might actually be pretty good within their conference this year. So you guys knew that going in. That was going to be a tough environment to play because that's a team that's just getting better and better. But you pull it off. You win 70-63. But they couldn't get the foul call in late, man. What was going on? You guys are up 5, I think, late in the game with like 20, 30 seconds left, and they didn't foul you until we got down to like 5 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, they had tried to go for like a trap the first pass out. They didn't get it, and then like they probably should have fouled after that, but they just didn't foul.
Do you think they were confused? Like, is it, oh, do we, you know, are we, you know, sometimes when you get to the end of the games, teams are like, okay, it's over. Mathematically, there's just no way. But 5-point game, you would think. They would think there was an opportunity to still send you to the line, hope that you miss. I think that's the strategy against you guys at the free throw line, is just pray for you to miss. I just wonder if there was a disconnect between some of the players where they're like, I think it's over. We're not going to foul.
Yeah, it's probably just like a miscommunication. You know, some people were saying foul. Some people, you know, they weren't fouling. But, I mean, just, I mean, for us on the other side, it's just like we end up working
just
out.
Keep passing us around. Well, and I asked Coach Smiley, too. I was like, were you guys just like lightning speed and staying away from them? But it sounded like they just weren't trying to foul you.
Yeah, we were surprised. Like, we thought they were going to foul, and it didn't foul, so we ended up just kind of, you know, running the clock down.
Yeah, it was bizarre to me, especially because, you know, talking to Coach Smiley, that team likes to foul. Like, they actually like to foul. It's something with their analytics that they look at where they say, hey, we send guys to the line, hope that they miss, slows the game down. I never really thought of that. You know, we're talking about analytics and football so much, but there's an analytical side to the basketball side of things, and that's one of them right there, where they think they can slow things down by sending you guys to the free throw line.
Yeah, they're just like one of those teams that play a lot more physicals, you know. So they're one of the more fouling teams, you know, in the, let's say, in, you know, in the D1 thing. But also they get to the line a lot. So like before the game, that's kind of what we're looking at, that like trying not to foul them, keep them off the line, and also knowing that they're one of the most fouling teams, so just being aggressive, getting downhill and trying to get to the line.
Do you think more teams are going to start doing that? Like, they look at it and say, hey, if we can slow the game down and we can spare the fouls, we go deep into our bench and bring guys out to foul, is that something that we might start seeing in college basketball more and more down the road?
I'm not sure. I think it like varies from team to team. You know, like some teams kind of play that more physical and aggressive type of style, but like, you know, some teams don't like to foul a lot. Like, we don't like to put people, other teams, on the free throw line a lot.
Because you like the rhythm and the momentum of the game, right? You guys want to keep going, flowing, and get fast breaks and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We want to play in kind of more possessions in the game, and them type of games is kind of like slowed down when it's more fouling, you know what I mean?
When you were studying this film against this Northridge team, is that something that you guys brought up in film a lot? It's, hey guys, they're going to foul. They're going to send you to the line. They're going to try to slow this game down. We have to be really prepared mentally to not only knock down those free throws, but to know that when we're driving, there's a good chance they're going to try to foul you before you go up for that shot.
Yeah, exactly. Just we was preparing ourselves. You know, like they're a team that likes to rake a lot. They kind of go two to the ball and stuff when you're driving. So just being able to be strong with the ball and make our passes and knowing that they're going to foul us, so we got to be strong with the ball and just taking advantage of that.
Does that change your game then? You know that they like to rake. You know that they're going to be reaching in. Do you, like, lean in on that sometimes, knowing get a little closer? There's going to be opportunities for you to draw fouls when you're driving it down the lane.
Sometimes. It's just kind of like using it against them. Not like changing my whole game or nothing like that, but knowing that they're one of the more fouling teams is that, like, you know, I could be more aggressive downhill. You know, I might get some more calls.
I was, you know, as far as scouting you guys, they were sending you and Matt Johnson and Dalton connect. Dalton didn't have a huge free throw appearance night. He was 2 for 2. But between you and Matt, you shot 19 free throws. And I'm just thinking, I keep hearing Matt gets fouled, Daylen gets fouled. I'm thinking, man, if we're playing this game, the Bears are going to come out on top. That's a dangerous game to play with you two, maybe two of the better free throw shooters in the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, just knowing that, like, you know, me and Matt knowing that, of course, Dalton, too, is knowing that, like, you know, if we get into the line, then it's kind of, you know, it's a pretty good chance that we're going to make both.
7 of 10 for you. Matt was 8 of 9. You ended the night with 19 points, 2 boards, an assist, and, again, a nice night at the free throw line. What is your favorite kind of play? Is it a three-point shot? Is it driving down the lane, going up, getting that kiss off the glass? I mean, you're so good at that with that, especially on the left, but you can go right, too. Is it a nice pass? Is it getting to the free throw line? What's your favorite basketball play on the offensive side of the ball?
I say, like, I like transition a lot. You know, running transition, kind of slicing, you know, just running and that part, running and slicing and just finishing and stuff. I like that type of stuff.
I think
transition
it's,
is like, that's, I think that's my favorite part of the game. Like, that's the most exciting part.
That's where that three-man weave comes in, too, sometimes.
Kinda.
No, I joked with the coach about that. I'm like, I don't think what you guys do is something crazy in that fast break and getting that mode of just getting down the floor. And I joked with you last year. I was like, dude, you're like Spider-Man on the fast break because you have all these options. Your vision is there.
Yeah.
You got the rim, but you know you have your guys with you too. Mm-hmm. But that, yeah, it is a blast watching you guys out on the fast. And that, again, that's what this Northridge team was trying to decrease was the amount of fast break opportunities that you would have.
Yeah, exactly. And then we just kind of try to use it against them, just trying to speed up the game and play to our favor, you know, just dictating the game.
Well, solid game from you. Matt Johnson ends with 18 and 6 assists. Dalton Connect, 16 points, but 14 rebounds. Is that something you guys out-rebounded them? What was it 43-37, 2 games in a row where the discrepancy between rebounds, you guys went heavily in your favor. Is that something in practice and in film study where coaches looking at you and Matt and Dalton saying, hey, we got to help out the big guys. We got to start bringing our rebound numbers up because Dalton had a monster game on the glass.
Yeah, definitely. Just like I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, just that, like, you know, rebounding was our biggest thing we needed to work on. And, like, every week we've been taking steps and just building that and knowing that the big guys are going to have their hands full down there trying to box out the other team's bigs. And then just us guards coming in trying to clean it up.
Swoop in and get those boards.
Clean it up, make it easier for them because a lot of times the bigs aren't going to be able to get it themselves because they got their hands full. So it's like they're just trying to get their guy out so other people could come collect the rebounds.
Well, and the big guys have been doing their part too. Theo Hughes had a career night against Cal State Northridge. He had 10 boards and then gets fouled out at the end, but 10 rebounds for him. I think that's what you and I have talked about before the season. Is if you can get that kind of production from him or close to it, you guys are going to win a lot of basketball games because we know you're going to score. We know Matt's going to score. We know Dalton's going to score. If you can have the other guys adding to that stat line, especially on the rebounds, you guys are going to win some basketball games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just, you know, getting them to come along. Theo's been, you know, he's made a big jump, you know, his last few weeks, just kind of understanding everything he needs to do and how to impact the game without necessarily him having to score. You know, him just making... You know, just being in the right places, rebounding, making shots hard on the other guards and other bigs.
What is practice like then? You know, before the CSU game, you guys were struggling on the glass. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, you guys are just ripping down board after board against CSU and then against Cal State Northridge. What is that like? Like, what are you actually doing in practice? I know you're practicing how to rebound, but is the intensity level just turned up or you're adding more practice to that? You're making that more of a point of emphasis where other things maybe get pushed aside, and that's it. But what's that process like? Can you take us through what practice looks like when you're trying to get better at rebounding?
Yeah, it's just definitely like, you know, we might do some just more rebounding drills where it's emphasized more, just, you know, making sure that it's known in our head that, you know, we need to get in there and rebound more and then just, and it's a team thing, you know, we kind of just be talking to each other and, you know, just remind each other, like, make sure we're on these boards, like, you know, we need to rebound more. That's the biggest thing we need to work on.
So that's like you're aware of, and you talk about it, you know, out of a huddle or out of break, out of a timeout or whatever. It's like, hey guys, you know, be ready. We got to get those boards. Or is that just like mentally we know that, but or does it help to just say it throughout the game? Is we got to keep focused on those rebounds?
No, it helps to say. You know, I mean, the coaches say it. We say it. It's just like something that we're emphasizing so much. You know, because. You know, especially for defense, the more rebounds we get, the more we can play in transition. The stops we get, we play in transition. We don't have to play set up offense all the time coming down, but we could just play, you know, just play and run.
You're listening to the Dalen Coons Show here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. You're just starting to see more guys contribute that we were wanting to see more. You know, Riley Abercrombie has been nice for you guys. 8 points and 6 boards the other night, getting him going. We talked about Theo Hughes really trying to control the rebounds there. You're getting Caleb Shaw, who's you're going to have these really good games. He might disappear for a little bit. It's a rookie, right? Or it's a freshman right now. But you're starting to see the guys separate themselves. Who are going to be, you know, how deep are you going to go on the bench? And that's kind of where you want to be, right? You want to be getting close to conference play. You kind of know everybody's role in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're just really using this non-conference just to kind of get guys' rhythm to figure out, you know, who likes what and just kind of, you know, how this team is going to be. I mean, we're still figuring it out to this day, but we just kind of use those games as lessons and examples, just kind of showing, you know, where we can be and where we're at.
Are you surprised at how the three of you, I mean, we all talked about it before the season that you and Matt and Dalton Connect would be the, you know, the big three, but every single game, it's coming to fruition. You guys are putting out those monster numbers. Are you surprised at all that the three of you guys have worked so well and everything that we talked about in the offseason is happening? You guys on a nightly basis, all three of you are coming up with big numbers.
No, it's not really too surprising, just knowing that, you know, like, we were the three, you know, three guards that was here last year, so it kind of makes sense that, you know, I mean, we're kind of playing the way we are because we're used to this league, we're older guards, we kind of know what to expect, and, you know, I mean, we've seen pretty much everything from the defensive, you know, defensive coverages and schemes and all that.
And that helps you guys, too. I mean, be able to work with the younger guys as well. You have so much of that knowledge, both mentally and physically, knowing what you need to do out on the floor, which I think these guys can watch what you're doing, but also learn from you discussing, you know, what you three are seeing out there on a nightly basis.
Yeah, exactly. Just being able to go to them and they could come to us for, you know, if they need help or they want to, you know, just learn about something. Just because, like I said, I mean, me and Matt both being in college, his 6th year, my 5th year. And Dalton being a senior this year, like, we didn't see a lot of basketball. We didn't play a lot of basketball. I mean, we pretty much didn't see everything if they got a question about it.
Is there a friendly competition between the three of you guys, like stats and free throw percentage and stuff like that? Is that something that is talked about ever, or do we not talk about stats?
No, we don't talk about
really?
Stats.
Really? Man, I would be like, dude, Dalton, my percentage, I'm going to get it up over you. But that's just something that doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't even talk about stats. I mean, it's not really no competition.
You never look at the box, like the box scores and stuff, and just be like, hey, here, I got this, and you got that, nothing like that?
No, I don't be none of that going on. I mean, we just see it kind of is what it is, you know what I mean? Just on to the next.
That's probably why you're so good at it. You don't pay attention to the numbers, man. But I'm always, like, looking at the scores and wanting to see, you know, did Dalen get to the 18-point or whatever? You guys are, I mean, the three of you, all three collectively are shooting over 82% from the free throw line. I mean, you knew that. Like, that's amazing, man, especially just between the three of you guys.
Yeah, I did know that. We were, like, all three of us were shooting pretty high clip from the free throw line. It's just, I mean, just showing that, you know, when teams foul us, that we're getting there and able just to, you know, not give them no breaks. We're able to just, you know what I mean, hit those free throws and not give them no breaks.
You guys have been so solid there. Does it ever, you know, boggle your mind a bit when you see guys struggle at the free throw line? Because it's something that you have focused on so much, Matt's focused on, Dalton's focused on. That has become a nice weapon for you guys, and there's so many guys that don't maybe, I don't know if they don't take it seriously or what, but they just don't put that emphasis at the free throw line. And you guys, I mean, that's helped you. That helped you guys secure the W against CSU. Certainly helped you with this last game out. And I know that's a big tool that you guys use on a nightly basis, is getting to the free throw line and making those shots.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been there before. We wasn't able to make those free throws last year. You know what I mean? There's some games that where we possibly could have closed out and, you know what I mean, end up in different positions. But now us just being back, we're like, all right, we gotta make sure we put these emphasis in. These are free points. Just make sure we're knocking these down and, you know, just taking everything free. If they want to foul us and put us on the line, then we're just gonna make them pay for it.
A big opportunity coming up for you guys on Sunday, and we'll get to that. How much are you paying attention to the rest of the Big Sky right now? Are you looking around at their games, seeing what their records are? Because we know we're not in conference play yet, a couple games away. How much are you paying attention to the Montana States and the Weber States and all that at this stage of the season?
Not too much. I haven't really looked at too much of their records, but, I mean, I kind of catch some of the games, you know, just if I just be watching on ESPN or whatever, but. I mean, I'm not paying attention too much. I just kind of, if I catch them, I catch them. But, you know, as we're getting closer, I'll probably start looking more into it over this break.
Yeah, you got a break coming up. You got the Buffs on Sunday, which will be interesting, especially personally for you. And we'll get into that in a moment. And then Air Force the following or the next Tuesday. And then you get a little bit of a break, and then it's into conference play. So we'll talk about those two games coming up next, 21 minutes after the hour. It's the Dalen Kuntz Show, presented by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printers. More to come from Dalen on the other side. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You probably think that you are better now.
Just 25 minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back into the Dalen Kuntz Show, presented by Top Shelf Printers and Renaissance Insurance. I'm going to do a little something fun here. I got a $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. Be the fifth texter on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Tell me how many points Dalen had in his last game, in the Bears' last game against Cal State Northridge. Was that on Saturday night? Tell me how many points Dalen had. And if you're the fifth texter on our line there, we'll hook you up with a $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. Big game coming up for you, Dalen, for this Bears team, going against this Colorado Buffaloes team that I'm still trying to figure out. I don't really know. I think Tad Boyle's trying to figure him out, too. Like, what am I getting here? Because the team that beat... I said this before they played CSU. The team that beat Texas A&M and the team that beat Tennessee is probably going to beat CSU. But if you're the team that lost to Grambling 83-74, and then you lost to UMass the day before you beat Texas A&M 66-63, then who knows? This could be a really interesting game. But I'm telling you, it was the Rocky Mountain Showdown. It was basketball version. You knew primetime was going to be in the building at some point. Mm. I was like, man, I don't know. This place is going to be absolutely bumping. I don't know if the Rams can overcome that. And then they were still licking their wounds, I think, from the game against you guys the week before. So that game was nuts. You watched a bit of it, though.
Yeah, I watched a little bit. I watched that first half of it when you know, it was still pretty close.
Pretty close then, right?
Pretty tied. Like, I think it was like tied with like 2 minutes left or something like that.
You guys were talking about what CU did at halftime and maybe went to more of a zone defense. And that's something that obviously you'll have to be ready for if, you know, if you guys are finding your rhythm on the offensive side, if they can change that defense. What is that like when you see teams make those changes? Because that could be tough. We all know. I mean, you're running different plays against man than you are zone. How comfortable are you guys making those changes if you see a team make that switch on the defensive side in the second half?
I think we're getting better. I mean, you know, it's kind of we work on that stuff too. You know what I mean? Just being able to play against the zone. You know, you can't really run too much sets. It's more of just movement and action and just kind of, you know, trying to get to the weak parts of the zone.
How hard is it? Talk to us about that. Like what you're seeing when a team goes and they play the zone correctly. It's very – I go back to the Carmelo days back with Syracuse, man. I mean, they mastered that zone, and it was so hard to penetrate. Talk to us about that. Maybe some of our listeners that aren't, you know, as up to speed on how you break a real zone, a good zone defense, what are some of the things you're looking for? We know speed and passing that basketball around, but you're also probably just looking for little openings that you can find as far as getting the ball to your big guy and kick it back out or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, being able just to get it into that middle part, even punching it, you know, still being able to drive it and just, you know, put tune on the ball, moving it, just kind of making the defense collapse, but... I mean, kind of do a lot of it, just really just getting that ball moving, cutting, punching it when you get the opportunity, and you just pretty much go from there.
What do you know about this Buffs team so far? I mean, again, if you just go back to the game against the Colorado State Rams, KJ Simpson's a really talented player. He showed it to the fullest against Colorado State. He had 27 points. He was 5 of 8 from the 3-point line, 10 of 8 overall, or 18, excuse me. They were relying on him. Tristan Da Silva, another fine player. They were really relying on two of their big studs and scorers to really rattle CSU, and it worked. And that's the thing where if CU can get that defense going and then their studs can lead the way, they're probably going to put themselves in a nice position at the end of the season to at least be having the March Madness conversation.
Yeah, I mean, we know they got some good guards there, good bigs. They're a pretty good team, you know what I mean? Like I said, you know, they got some good wins, and, you know, they had ups and downs pretty much like every other team. But, I mean, we know they're a good program. We're not really trying to, you know, focus too much on, you know, like their low points or nothing like that, because we know they could play like we've seen them, you know, well, you see them.
That's the team you're preparing for, right, is the team that smoked CSU and the team that smoked Texas A&M. You're not even looking at probably those other – the Gramblings. You're probably not – wasting a lot of time looking at that because you know this team's capable of doing some big things.
Yeah, we're looking at both, but just knowing that, you know, like how good they could really be once they get it clicking and get it rolling, just knowing that, you know what I mean, just being able to pay attention to that and notice that.
Now, in state stuff, you know, we talked about the CSU game, what it would mean to you guys to go up, you know, 30, 40 minutes up north and beat Colorado State, which you did, and I know that was a huge win for you guys. For CU, kind of the same type of deal, but for you, maybe a little more personal because that's where you started your college basketball career, was with the Colorado Buffaloes, and then ultimately transferred to UNC. Do you look at this game a little bit differently than the Air Force game coming up Tuesday, or even Colorado State? Do you look at this game personally like this is I want to go showcase, man. I want to go put on my absolute best, or is that an everyday occurrence for you?
I mean, it's a mix. Like, of course, you know what I mean? I got that chip on my shoulder just from, you know, me being there. Of course, I would love to win against them. But at the same time, it's not trying to, you know, try to put too much pressure, nothing on myself, just knowing that it's another game. Like, it's a good opportunity for us to beat a good team, you know what I mean? As long as we kind of just, you know, take away what we need to take away from them and just play to our full capabilities, you know, just give ourselves a good chance.
Do you, I mean, I'm not expecting you and Tad Boyle to text each other on a regular basis, but do you have a good relationship? You'll see him at the game Sunday, and we'll be a nice embrace, shake hands, or what?
Yeah,
I mean, like, it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's like no issues or nothing like that. I would say hi. I mean, it just didn't work out. You know, I happened to come here, and, you know, he's still a good coach. That's a good program, and, you know, he's a good guy.
No hard feelings, right?
Yeah,
well, again, it was different with you. When you started with Colorado, they were pretty guard heavy. They had a lot of guards, and I think you and I have talked about this several times. You know, it might not make sense all the time, but then when you did get your minutes, maybe you found yourself pushing because you're like, I don't know how many more minutes I'm going to get in this game, so I'm going to just go at it here. And maybe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you even, we talked about this where you said, hey, maybe I was forcing things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, the situation didn't work out. That was a good program, good coaching. I mean, everything's good there. Just their situation was for me here at UNC, but I mean, yeah, definitely just, I mean, I kind of forced him a little bit, but, I mean, just a learning step.
Well, that's something, because if you know deep down, okay, I can play with these guys. I can do that. But the way the depth chart is orchestrated, at least at this time, it might not make sense for me at this stage. And then when you started to think about, hey, I think, you know, moving on and finding a different spot for me would be best, I think it all worked out, man. I mean, you're leading this basketball team with UNC that is more and more, and since you really arrived at UNC, I think it's becoming more and more well-respected throughout Colorado, throughout the state. People do talk about this UNC team. You know, I was at CSU football games, and a lot of the media would say, hey, watch out for that UNC team this year, man. They're going to be really good. So it's kind of cool to see the state paying attention, and that wouldn't have happened. You know, if you and then Steve Smiley joined forces here, all those things started to grow this program up, and that started kind of or restarted when you decided to come here to the University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was kind of just looking for a school, it's just like, you know, just give me the best opportunity to get on the floor and just kind of showcase everything I could do. And then, you know, it's really here, you know, with like some homegrown talent. We got Dalton, Matt. I know Matt forever. Dalton I'm familiar with, like Langston I know. So, like, you know, just starting just kind of get that, you know, get it together and just really just start growing, you know what I mean, some homegrown talent, a couple guys from out of state.
If you guys go in, and again, ESPN, the ESPN win indicator, whatever, certainly giving the Buffs a big chance to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at that, if you guys can go out, put on a heck of a performance, pull this thing off, you're the talk of the state, man. I mean, that's a heck of an opportunity. CSU was a March Madness team last year. and you beat them. CU is a team that's always flirting with March Madness, and we've certainly seen what they're capable of. But you're looking at this game. Do you look at this game and say, man, this is a huge opportunity to really assert UNC and put them on the map in the state of Colorado?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a nice opportunity. It's like you said, like the CSU game. I mean, it's something that, you know, like us being all in one state, you know, we love to have them, you know, just bragging rights. It's like, yeah, you know, we beat CSU, we beat CU. Like, you know, that's pretty cool to say that. But really, we just want to give ourselves the opportunity to do that. You know what I mean? Just locking in, being focused, dialed in, and just kind of executing our game plan.
Well, and then Air Force on the following Tuesday. So another Colorado opportunity right there for you guys.
Yeah.
So that's a chance for folks to really look at you and you know, start talking about this Bears team more and more and more. And I think it's a fun opportunity coming up for you. Daylan, what'd you think of the primetime stuff, man? I mean, it's turning college sports upside down. And he's got a way of doing things that I think really attracts everybody. I mean, it's prime time. I watched him growing up. You watched him. You know, he was a media icon too. So he's a Hall of Famer, one of the best cornerbacks to ever do it. He's got the swag. He built this personality in prime time, and it served him so well. What's your take on all this stuff, man? I mean, are you liking the way he's presenting himself and looking to grow this program with Colorado?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty cool for somebody like that to come, you know, to Colorado program and decide to do that. And, you know, with it being him makes it even cooler, you know what I mean? Just, like, it feels like everything you're seeing right now is Deion Sanders in the bus. Like, I've seen some videos of him just, like, going to different restaurants and just trying places and, like, giving feedback and stuff. So, like, it's pretty cool. I know the hype up there is, like, it's probably real crazy right now.
As a player, you like that. Do you like that kind of stuff? Because you see this guy and he's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, I mean, if you're a stud player coming out and you're going to have your options to go play, you look at that and go, the spotlight is going to be on me, or well, it's going to be on him, but I'll be standing next to him, so I'll kind of be in that spotlight.
Yeah.
Do you look at that? Because I look at guys like Steve Smiley and Tad Boyle, they're a lot different than that style. You know, they're good. They're all good guys, but just different. Primetime is definitely like, dude, I'm coming out to Tupac. You know, I'm walking out to that. I'm talking. I got the chains on. I want to put chains on Ralphie next year. They're two totally different styles, but I think both styles can work together. You know, they can work in college sports.
Yeah, definitely. Both styles can work. But, you know, he's that type of it seems like he's a player coach also. He's just a different type of player's coach. But, you know what I mean? He keeps it 1,000%, 100%. Like, he kind of tells it straight up and what it is. He don't really sugarcoat nothing from what it seems like.
Is that the kind of coach that you would want? I mean, Steve Smiley's a different guy. Let's just say you played football. Mm-hmm. Would you look at that and go, man, that's the kind of guy I want to be around because tells it like it is, but he's got swag, man. He's very popular. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of guy you look at, or would you look at a different guy that's more of an under the radar type coach?
I mean, honestly, both. You know what I mean? Just because, like, I mean, I'm kind of more of an under radar guy. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, I always know how that is. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's just not just not showing it off as much. You know what I mean? But still keep it honest, still tell you what it is. But he's just more like, just more open with it, I guess.
You know, so if you had to choose like that type?
I had to choose.
Because you're an under-the-radar guy.
I mean, I don't know. I really wouldn't.
You don't talk a lot of smack.
You know what I mean? Like, it would be out, whichever one was right, I would just go. You know what I mean? I don't know. But I'm not against neither style. I mean, I'm for both of them.
Well, it is crazy because you had the new UNC football coach, Ed Lamb, was saying stuff like, hey, we don't want you to enter the transfer portal. We want to build here. We love every one of you guys, and it's all good. And I love that message.
Mm-hmm.
Deion Sanders is like, hey, go ahead and enter that transfer portal because I'm bringing, what did he say? I'm bringing luggage and it's Louis and all that stuff. And I liked that too. So I'm with you. Like, both styles can work. It just depends on what your program, what it makes sense for.
Yeah,
so I get
exactly
what you're saying is both styles are probably going to work at some point.
Yeah, it's just to each his own. Like, I mean, you know, when McCaffrey came here, he wanted to stay and work with here, and with Deion, he's just keeping it real. He's like, honestly, you know, like, I'm recruiting, I'm bringing some other people. Like, you know, you'd rather him tell you that than not say that. Then he'd just be like, oh, like, you just have to go. You know what I mean? He's like, no, I'm telling you now, first meeting, that, like, I got people coming. So, like, decide what you want to do.
Just get ready.
Yeah.
And then the players, guys like you that are extremely talented, would know, okay, I'm not entering because I'm staying. I'm going to fight. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to earn my spot. But then there are other guys that might be kind of on the bubble. And let's face it, the Buffs were a bad football team, so there's a lot of guys that are on the bubble, and they probably look at it and go, I might as well just jump in the transfer portal. I like the honesty because I think you and I talked about it last week. It's like that stuff's happening behind closed doors. Coaches are honest with you and they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. We talked about that with Tad Boyle and stuff. Like, do they sit down and have conversations with you before the season? Yeah. I'm sure that Steve Smiley sits down with everybody in the roster and kind of says, hey, here's where we think you're going to fit. And if there's a guy that's not going to get a lot of playing time, I'm sure he has those conversations with them too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm pretty sure every team, like I know all teams I've been a part of, we always had meetings, you know, before the season, the middle of the season, at the end of the season, just, you know, just to kind of tell you what it is and, you know, just kind of keeping you updated on, you know, on what the plans is for you, how things are going and all that type of stuff.
What was Smiley's conversation with you this year? That you're going to be a big part of the plan? Is that what he said?
I mean, yeah, just being able to handle it, just knowing that the ball's going to be in my hands, just being able to handle that and, you know, just making it work for the team and just being able to get guys involved and, you know what I mean, just becoming that vocal leader that we always talk about.
Yeah. Well, and you're seeing it more and more, man. It's been fun to watch you grow with this program, and I think it's going to be a fun opportunity for you guys coming up on Sunday. And the way you guys play, I mean, when you're at your absolute best, I think you can give any team a really difficult time. And you guys have gotten so much better from the Houston Baylor games already. I mean, and you've seen it, you've talked about it, but you can feel it. The confidence is growing with this team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we just kind of feel like it's been growing game by game. You know what I mean? Just learning that, you know what I mean, we could play with the best of them. It's just the simple mistakes that's taken us from being an average team to a good team and good team to a, you know, great team. It's just learning, like, what's going to help us take them steps.
Yeah. Two more non-conference games coming up. 40 minutes after the hour. We'll put the finishing touches on this show with Dalen. Absolutely love catching up with him each and every week, and we get that kind of inside scoop about all things UNC basketball. First, let's jump out real quick, Angel, and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
I spent 250, don't know where it went. My hood on my back, I gotta represent. Toronto, you useless, you don't gotta
45 minutes after 11 o'clock. It's the Dalen Kuntz Show presented by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printers. Appreciate those guys and what they're able to do to help us put this program on each and every week. Dalen, I asked you this during the break. Isn't it kind of typical at the beginning of the season you see more guys come off the bench, 5-6 guys, because you're wanting to see who you got, who works out the best. And then as we start to approach conference play, we whittle that down to 2 or 3 guys are really getting the strength, you know, the bulk of the minutes coming off the bench.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you just kind of see the rotation start to cut down a little bit as the season goes on, just as, you know what I mean, as the coaches and everybody's kind of figure out who does what and who plays well together and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, well, and then this game against Cal State Northridge, Wisney had 15 minutes off the bench, and Caleb Shaw had 17 minutes off the bench. So are you looking at those two guys as kind of being the leaders of that bench unit right now?
I mean, yeah, you could say that for now, but, I mean, just right now, like, those are the guys who have been playing bulk of those minutes.
Yeah.
And then the big thing we always be telling, you know, everybody else, like, people who aren't playing right now is just to stay ready because, like, I mean, you never know, like, when your number may be called, we're gonna need somebody at some point in the season, everybody at some point in the season. So it's just, like, making sure guys are staying in the gym, staying dialed in, and just ready when their number's called.
Well, and Riley's getting more starts, too, and sometimes that doesn't necessarily mean everything, right? You can start the game, but who's there at the end, too? I mean, who's there in crunch time when they're close games? That's another thing you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just that you might start it, but also you may not be playing at the end, but just, you know, just staying locked in and just doing your part for, you know, when you're in for, if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or whatever your time is, just make sure you're doing your part to help the team and doing whatever you can.
You got the Buffs on Sunday, Air Force on Tuesday. The Air Force game is at home, too, so I know we're going to have tickets to give away for that. That should be a fun environment. Get out there. Support this basketball team. This team is good. You guys are a blast to watch. You love getting out on that fast break good because we love watching it. So it's and you knew I had to throw the three-man weave in at some point, even if it doesn't make sense. I think I get paid by the amount of three-man weave mentions I have.
It might be.
Dalen, I appreciate you, man. We'll let you get out of here. Get to practice. Start prepping for this big Buffs game coming up. That is 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And then the Air Force game will be Tuesday at 6 o'clock. So we'll get both of those games under our belt before we talk next time. So, man, best of luck to you. Go get them on Sunday. Two more Colorado games for you guys, too, to really start to rev up that name, all things UNC Bears.
Yeah, definitely. Just keep some momentum going.
Let's do it, man. Let's go tear it up on Sunday. I'm excited for that game, man. Go get it. All right, Dalen, appreciate you, man. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, 11:48 the time. The Dalen Kuntz Show. He's off, man. He's going to be getting back to practice, get ready for this Buffaloes team, and shock the world. Just go ahead and shock the world and beat the Buffs on their home turf. 48 minutes after the hour. It's Dalen Kuntz Show transitioning back over to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll take a quick break. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Hurt you, acting like I'm gone, but we both in the same room. I don't like to be wrong, which I know you relate to, and I know I make you feel.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.